You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News, and today, we are doing a mock draft because the draft is on Wednesday. The Pacers only pick 54th, but I want to kind of shape out how I think the first round's going to go, and I'll kind of focus on, for some of these guys, how they would fit with the Pacers, because the point of this exercise is, you know, we haven't really scouted these guys on this show or in general, but the Pacers could trade into the first round. You know, it's not crazy. They're shopping guys who have first-round value. It's not insane they walk out of this draft with a first-round pick, and ranking these guys and discussing how some of them that are somewhat realistic, at least, for them to be able to swing that level of pick might be worth talking about how they could fit on this team, even if I think that they would end up flipping a pick for a better fit anyway. So I'm just going to run through a mock draft anyway, and mock drafts are good content. Before I really dive into any mock drafty stuff, there's some newsy stuff that we have to get to. First and foremost, Pacers finalized their coaching staff. Me and Adam already covered the Greg Foster hiring and the Bill Bano retaining on earlier shows. One guy we never got to talk about, Caleb Canales, is coming over to the Pacers. Canales was hired into the NBA by none other than Kevin Pritchard with the Trailblazers in 2005 as a video intern, worked his way up, was the associate head coach in Portland after, lo and behold, Nate McMillan was fired by the Blazers in 2012, has been an assistant under Rick Carlisle with the Mavs and with the Knicks most recently as an offensive coordinator kind of guy, so seems like a good fit, good connection with Bano and Pritchard there. And then today, even after the Pacers announced their coaching staff, Woj announced today that they're adding, Calbert Cheney, old IU legend. Going to be awesome to see him with the team as an assistant coach, assuming that has to do some of his ties with Oladipo. He was the director of basketball operations at IU, went for two of Oladipo's three seasons with the team. And then kind of NBA newsy stuff, Drew Holiday got traded about 2 seconds before I did this podcast to the Milwaukee Bucks, so the top of the East gets better. They traded three first-round picks and two pick swaps and George Hill and Eric Bledsoe for him. Crazy trade. That would have been a tough compensation for the Pacers to beat if they wanted to get Drew, so that makes a little more sense. If they don't end up getting a guy of that level. Chris Paul got traded today. There goes my favorite dream Pacers offseason move to the Suns for basically a bunch of solid players and a first-round pick because his contract is so huge. Pacers probably could have beat that if they wanted to, but again, it's very risky. He's very old and makes a lot of money. And James Harden is available. If we're talking about NBA trades and stars, this stuff is flying crazy fast. James Harden is available. If the Pacers trade Oladipo and Turner and every first-round pick they're legally allowed to trade, they might be in the conversation for getting him. I would love that. The Pacers would be stupid good. I totally understand that is never, ever going to happen. So that is where the big trades are in the NBA and the news around the team. Let's do a mock draft because I've never really done one. So you're going to kind of hear my thoughts on the fly about some guys. And some of it's just fit kind of stuff and things like that. So I have to make this three segments. And I didn't really plan how I would break out the team. So maybe I'll do like 1 through, let's say 7, because that's probably, so 1 through 7, I'll call this range, too high for the Pacers to get into, because to me, they could trade Turner, or they could trade Depot, and those guys kind of have mid to high mid first level value, and you know, maybe they trade both, and then they can aggregate their picks and move up, but really the Knicks are 8, and they're my defining line because they, I guess, could be a Depot destination or swing themselves into it, and the Wizards are 9, they could be a Turner team. I don't see any of the teams above the Knicks and Wizards, maybe the Cavs with Turner, but I don't really see it, and I guess the Warriors with Turner as well, but number 2 is too much for Turner outside of a crazy Wiggins deal. So anyway, I don't really see any of the top 7 giving up the picks they have for either Turner or Depot, so let's just do the 7 first and get the non-Pacer segment of a mock draft out of the way, because that has to happen first. So first and foremost, I am really high on LaMelo Ball. I think he's far and away the best player in this draft class. Super clever with the ball, 6'7" guards, don't grow on trees. His IQ is so high. If you've listened to the Draft Express guys talk about him, the ESPN dudes, the big downside of him is he's like never been in a tough situation, right? Like every time the going gets tough for him with these teams, he's just kind of moved, right? From high school to whatever the prep school to Australia to, I think, Lithuania was the country he went to. I don't even remember. But, yeah, he's just kind of skated from situation to situation. But super skilled and talented, crazy high IQ player. Yeah, it projects to be really good. I think he's going to be the best player in this draft. I'm picking him number one if I'm the Timberwolves. Number two, Anthony Edwards. I also think he is pretty good and has an opportunity to be an actually good player in this draft. Scoring type, shooting guard from Georgia. Has some odd comparisons in the NBA. It's kind of hard to say what he'll turn out to be, but it looks like, you know, he's got the firepower on offense and stockiness on defense to be a capable two-way player, and I think he should go second overall. But the Warriors are interesting. They need a center. James Wiseman is rated very highly, apparently, by NBA talent evaluators. I have him three to the Hornets. There's been a lot of reporting that the Hornets really want James Wiseman, so my top three in order is LaMelo, Anthony Edwards, and Wiseman. But I can see Wiseman going too. I get why the Warriors would do that. Wiseman, I am not that enthused by. You know, I don't think he has that many. I mean, he's good, and I just don't think his on-ball skills are that awesome for a guy you'd pick this high, and centers are a weird spot in the NBA right now, especially with bad defensive centers like Wiseman is right now. He could turn out to be awesome, and he's going to be an awesome lob threat, but I don't know that he has a great fit or immediate fit in the modern NBA. Maybe I'm wrong, though. You know, I am frequently wrong about scouting stuff. So here's where I sort of divulge from the consensus a little bit. I would pick Tyrese Haliburton, number four, the point guard from Ohio State, for the Bulls. They did a bunch of crazy stuff today. So this is why I like to wait. I get to see some of the moves unfolding before the draft. They did not extend Chris Dunn a qualifying offer. And if you'll recall, when we did Pacers free agent point guards, Chris Dunn was a name we brought up. I mean, it doesn't make a ton of sense for the Pacers to sign a point guard, but Chris Dunn is a damn good defender. And if they lose McConnell or they end up dumping him for a second or something, Chris Dunn is great. And Chris Dunn next to Aaron Holiday would be a fun offense-defense punch for a reserve backcourt for the Pacers. Anyway, the Bulls did not extend him a qualifying offer or Shaq Harrison. So they're behind Kobe White. They just have nothing in terms of point guards right now. Would not surprise me to see them go with Haliburton. He's a good player. He's pretty crafty and clever with the ball. His offensive skill set kind of pops. And I think he's being rated a little too low in this draft. I think he's quite a skilled player. High IQ players are really in demand these days. You know, they can the more you the game you can see and read, and the more you can turn that into strong possessions, I think is starting to get valued as we see more dominance in the playoffs. Number five, the Cavs. Kind of weird team for me to really dig into, because they're two young, awesome prospects. Both play the same position. They're both point guards. I have no idea how they're going to build around both Darius Garland and Colin Sexton, although I think they're both going to be good. They also have a bunch of centers, Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance, Andre Drummond, you name it, they've got it. So they kind of need anything that isn't a point guard, and they kind of need defense, which is weird because Obi Toppin has been projected their point power forward from Dayton for forever. I like Toppin a lot more than the consensus. I have him here at five. That dude can score the damn ball. His offense is insanely good. Insanely good. Like, almost certainly will be a good offensive player the second he's drafted. That's why I have him at five. I understand the concerns, and I think Cavs people would really dislike a Toppin pick, because all of a sudden, Sexton Toppin is just an atrocious defensive duo. That would take a lot of building around them to make it a competent team. I think the Cavs, you know, objectively would be probably better, or at least can get a better fit, picking Isaac Okoro, who we'll talk about not too long from now. But I feel like Toppin's going to be their guy. They can really get the firepower going on offense and hope that they can score more than they give up. Number six, the Hawks. Interesting one as well. Trae Young, super good. Everyone else in that roster, we'll see. Cam Reddish could be good. Kevin Huerter could be good. Capella's pretty good and young. John Collins pretty good and young, right? Like, that's basically every other position. So I kind of feel like they're just going to go for bench firepower or combo guardy firepower. Guy I really like in this draft, Killian Hayes, coming from Ulm over in Germany. Combo guard, tons of skills, super super crafty and talented. I think a lot of mocks have him going in like the 9 to 12 range. I would honestly be willing to pick him even higher than that. He's really good. I think it'd be good for the Hawks to be able to pair him with Trae Young when they're both at their peak and potentially use him off the bench behind Young for now. So that's that. And the seventh one, the final one, the Pistons. Doesn't make any sense for them to have Turner or Oladipo. So they will round out this first segment here. I have them picking Patrick Williams. The worst kept secret in the draft is that Patrick Williams is coveted by a lot of teams. Pretty high in the top 10. Tweener forward from Florida State, 6'8". Decent shooter, pretty good defender. Projects to be basically the perfect modern wing type player. Is apparently flashing in all of his interviews and workouts, which is why he's flying up these boards. Pistons need everything, basically. So apparently Mark Stein is tweeting that potentially Giannis is going to sign his Supermax. But anywho, Patrick Williams, 7 to the Pistons. Big Central Division news there if Giannis really does sign it. But Yeah, that's my top seven. I don't think the Pacers are going to be able to sniff any of those guys' values, but I think those fits make a lot of sense. I think those players make a lot of sense to those teams. Let's take a little break before we get into potentially the Pacers' range of guys that could feasibly, probably a less than a 1% chance, but more than 0% chance for those other guys, end up on their roster on draft night. But first, we're going to talk about Bilko because it's time to break through your wall. Whether it's a mental wall or a physical wall, you can break through it with Bilko every day. Bilko is the absolute best workout gel on the market. It's like drinking a Monster with a third of the caffeine and better results. It's like a 5-hour energy without the crash, so it's better for your body. They come in easy to take 1.5 ounce packages. It's like a squeeze gel, workout gel. It's awesome. You can put it in your briefcase, your golf bag, your pocket, whatever. They have three delicious flavors. I really like the chocolate coconut and the chocolate mint. They combine energy gel with collagen proteins, fast absorbing so it gets in your system fast and it's easy on the stomach. Highly recommend you try them out. You go to builtgo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, all one word. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use that promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Okay, so pick 8 is the Knicks. I can see maybe it's stupid for them, but maybe they really want Oladipo or they think they can sign him to an extension, whatever. They flip 8 for him. That would be really, really dumb for them, I think, but it's the Knicks. I mean, they're the punching bag of the punching line for NBA fans and media for a reason. I get them with Denny Avdija, however you say his name, plays for Tel Aviv over in Israel, small forward, really smart cutter, decent, really good off-ball player, decent on-ball player, projects really well. He's under 20 years old and plays at a very in-demand position. I think the Knicks give him a lot of time to develop too because their timeline is still pretty long. And they just need wings, right? They have Mitchell Robinson. They've got some young guards. They've got RJ Barrett, young guard. They need a wing. They need he's 6'9". He's big. You know, they need that kind of guy who can kind of be the glue to that group and doesn't need the ball very often to really fit in. If Denny ends up on the Pacers, which seems unlikely but is possible, same kind of deal. He's a wing. You can always use wings. No problem there. 9, the Wizards, Onyeka Okongwu from USC. Probably the best center in this draft. I think he's much, much better than Wiseman. He's really smart. He's a great pick-and-roll defender. Fantastic. I mean, that just pops when you watch him play. He's a little short for a center, but again, as the modern NBA trends smaller and smaller, seems like he'll fit just fine. Pacers, probably not going to end up with him because he is a center. 10th, finally we get to one of my crushes here, Isaac Okoro, small forward from Auburn. Decent scorer. I don't care about his offense. Dude's an insanely good defender on the wing. That's exactly what you need in the modern NBA. This is not a comp at all, but he's got the Mikal Bridges pre-draft formula for me of just already guaranteed to me to be a good defensive wing coming out of college. And the rest of the stuff I'll let him figure out as he develops in the NBA. Pacers would be great to end up with him. The Suns currently are at 10th. They just traded stuff for Chris Paul. Lots of stuff, actually. So they're probably going to keep it to have depth and something exciting and youthful on the roster still. Although they only gave up one future pick, but they still need as much youth pipeline as they can get without a future pick in hand. But maybe they can psych themselves into saying, hey, look, we got Depot as well. I don't know. I doubt that 10, again, is in the range for them or that the Suns would give it up. So, again, probably not Pacers possible, but who knows. So after those 10, maybe there's one more guy who I have at 13, but maybe 11 guys who kind of lock in as, you know, the top tier, whatever. It's kind of fluid from, like, the Spurs through, man, really far down. I mean, almost the rest of the first round. The Pacers vice president of, I forget his exact title, Ryan Carr, used to be the director of scouting, vice president of player personnel. That's his job title. Spoke with media about the draft today, and he kind of said, you know, it's a lighter top of the draft, but, I mean, the middle is just, you're going to see rotation guys pulled from everywhere, right? So some of these, you know, basically what he's saying is guys from all these backgrounds in this middle tier could all end up being pretty good. So this is where the Pacers could get juicy. There's a lot of value here. Aaron Naismith is who I have, 11 for Vanderbilt. Lights out three-point shooter. Only played half the season for Vandy, but hit, like, I think over 50% of his threes. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but that dude can shoot. There's a chance. I think he's the second-best shooter in this draft class. There's a chance he's the best, and the Pacers could always use that. Spurs could literally do anything, including trade for Turner. Not off the table, and he could fall. Again, that the reason I mentioned this range and the trade stuff from Carr is that, you know, he could fall. Another team could value him high or low, whatever. He could be anywhere in this group. And 18 is where the Mavs pick, right? It's not insane that anyone in this range falls to 18. And that's the pick that we've talked about maybe being in a Depot trade. That's our fake Depot trade, but still. So maybe Naismith is there, and they could snag him there. 12, the Sacramento Kings. Another one where I just kind of go, they could do whatever. I put Kira Lewis. I'm not sure that that is the best fit. They already have De'Aaron Fox. I have a huge draft crush on Kira Lewis. He is an absolute stud with the ball in his hands. Maybe I should just flip these next two guys. I have Devin Vassell at 13, the wing from Florida State, another stud Florida State wing, tweener forward, defender. He's more of a guard, but he's 6'7". And Kira Lewis maybe should be 13 to the Pelicans. I think that makes more sense. I'm going to flip these on the fly. All right, the 12th pick, the Kings are picking Devin Vassell. Another would-be good fit with the Pacers. Great defender, projects well to be a valuable modern NBA player who can fit in on any team because of his good defense. And then 13, we'll go with Kira Lewis to the Pelicans. I love Kira Lewis. I've heard his name pronounced Kyra. I've been saying Kira for forever. Anyway, he is so good at changing speeds while keeping control of the ball, and especially laterally, like crossover side to side, just blows by guys, right? And when you vary up your speed like that, it's easy to beat anybody, and that translates to me really, really well to the NBA. De'Aaron Fox was always good at that. Look at him. Now he's one of the fastest guys in the league. That's just a skill that always makes sense, right? You're able to create space on that much space on college guys. Even if the NBA guys are better, you'll still be able to create space. Pelicans maybe don't need a point guard, right? Zion's going to have the ball out. They already have Lonzo, but they just traded Drew. So a guard makes a lot of sense for them still. Kyra Lewis maybe could be that guy. End of the lottery. Maybe this is where I'll end this segment. But I've been talking for forever. I mean, this is going to be a long mock draft podcast. But 14 Boston Celtics. It wouldn't surprise me if the Celtics do two things in this draft, and that's the reason I have the guy here is for one of these reasons. They have 14, 26, and 30. That smells like a trade-up to me, right? They already have a lot of young guys on the roster. Their rotation's filled out. I would imagine they would like to trade up and aggregate those picks into one pick or maybe two and then not have to deal with it as much. Something else they could do, though, is draft the best Euro and stash him. And I actually have, you know, in the absence of trades in my mock draft, I'm picking two Euros, including, I can't talk, one right here, Alexis Pokuševski from Olympiakos, 7-foot-tall power forward, very good on offense, only 18 years old, projects to be a very good player. And a lot of draft Twitter consider him one of the sleepers of the draft and would pick him in the top 5 to 10. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I mean, he'd still fit with the Celtics. Their front court isn't as loaded as their back court. So good fit for them, potentially a stash guy, who knows. 15, here we go. I'm doing a non-lotto pick in this segment. Then we'll do the second half of the draft after this. This might be my most undervalued player. I think I'd pick this guy top 5. I'm not kidding. I think if my personal board had a top 5, it would be LaMelo, Anthony Edwards, Killian Hayes, Isaac Okoro, and this guy, Tyrese Maxey. Holy cow. He's from Kentucky. He's just like controlled bull in a China shop guard who can do a lot. He can pass pretty well. He can score pretty well. He can't quite shoot, but he'll get there. I think he's a good defender. I just love the way he sees the game, love the way he's able to be a part of every play and be a really high-impact player. And I think that projects really well for him to be a great combo guard on any team who can maybe squeeze his way. He's like a little shorter than Brogdon, but Brogdon kind of build and size. So I think he could be really good in the NBA, and I project him very highly. I have him 15 here to the Magic. They need anything that isn't a big or isn't a big person. So that'd be a good fit. But, you know, the Magic specifically maybe don't need to trade with the Pacers or for any of the Celtics could also trade with the Pacers. We already have made, you know, talks with them. But, you know, the Magic probably won't directly trade with the Pacers, but say, you know, a team moves up a couple spots or down a couple spots, and all of a sudden that's in play. So Maxey, if the Pacers could get him, I'd be thrilled, and I think he's really good. All right, let's take one more break so I can get my voice back a tiny little bit and then finish out the second half of this mock draft. All right, so pick 16 was the Portland pick when I started recording and has now been traded for Robert Covington. So this is now the Rockets pick, but I'm keeping the same guy. Fortunately for me, this didn't get too confusing because Portland needs wings, and guess what the Rockets need? Wings, especially because they just traded one away. Sadiq Bey, Villanova, come on down, 6'8", kind of can shoot, kind of can defend, credible 3-and-D guy, great. You're going in the first round of this draft where it's all depth pieces and all rotation level guys but no studs. That's perfect for them. 17, Minnesota Timberwolves, this pick. They need stuff. they're complicated. If they pick LaMelo, this is probably not the best pick. I have Tyrell Terry here, Stanford guy, quick riser. He actually did have an interview with the Pacers way back in June before his stock went flying up. He's now interviewed with all 30 teams, right? That's how much his stock has climbed. He was interviewing with second-round teams early and is now interviewing with first-round teams, which now encompasses everybody. So Tyrell Terry, I put here, he can be a combo-y guard. kind of guy, although he's mostly a point guard. So it seems like it would be hard for him on a team with LaMelo and D'Angelo Russell to get very many minutes. Maybe this isn't the perfect pick for them, but I really like Terry. And if they don't pick LaMelo, maybe they trade back. Or they do pick LaMelo. I guess that could be their three-guard rotation. So I like Terry. I think he's good. And this is about the range again where trades could be happening. Pacers could be involved. 18, we're at the Mavs. Lo and behold, this could be an easy pick for the Pacers to acquire. Maybe they would like Naismith or Sadiq Bey or any of these wings that I have just talked about. Or maybe the Mavs pick themselves. I have RJ Hampton here. Went to Australia to play. You know, was totally not talked about because LaMelo Ball played there as well. But wasn't as good as LaMelo, but was pretty good. Again, 1 year out of high school, only 19.8 years old. Can do a little bit of stuff with the ball in his hands. Combo guard kind of guy at 6'5". You can get away with him on the wing. That kind of positionality will make him valuable, especially because he's already played with pros. 19, we got the Brooklyn Nets. And they apparently are pursuing James Harden. I don't think that there's any way that that trade happens because I don't think the Nets have the ammo to make it happen. But this is all just chaos. In the NBA these days, Chris Paul and Jrue Holiday have already been traded. So who knows what's going to happen. 19, the Nets. I think they're going to go for role players who fit with their stars anyway and would still be valuable in a trade. Desmond Bane. Insanely good shooter from TCU. I think he is the best shooter in this draft. Decent defender, decent ball handler. But if you're the best shooter in the draft, you fit with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving very easily. Now, if they lose Joe Harris, they have at least some insurance, although obviously Bane won't immediately come in and be as good as Joe Harris. But I love Desmond Bane and his fit with the Nets. So there we go. 20, the Heat. Vernon Carey from Duke is a center. They are soon to be done with the Kelly Olynyk era. They are soon to be done with the Myers-Leonard era. They're going to need someone to back up Bam. And they apparently, this is based on reporting, are infatuated with Vernon Carey from Duke. 6'10 center. He could probably play the four a little bit for them. There's your center rotation for the next forever. I'm surprised to see the Heat considering a center, but that is, again, I'm going kind of off a report there, combined with that he's a good player, good-ish player. So there we go, Vernon Carey Jr. He's lost some weight also. I think he's down about 20 pounds. Since his season ended, I saw a report of, so that's cool. 21, I think I saw this, bad kept secret. The Sixers love leaking draft stuff. 21, the Sixers. Isaiah Joe, the sick shooter from Arkansas, who I wanted the Pacers to be able to draft at 54. He got too good at shooting, and his hype outgrew the second round. Apparently, the Sixers really like him. Maybe they'll try to snag him up at 21, or you know, maybe some team will know that they want to snag him up and force them to trade up again. Who knows? But Isaiah Joe, 21st pick, makes a lot of sense to me since the Sixers like him so much. The Nuggets at 22, Mason Plumlee out the door. Their backup center rotation looks really weak right now behind Jokic. Obviously, they want to play him a ton, but if you have a star who's playing a ton of minutes at a position, that's the perfect way to develop a backup for just a few minutes a game. Precious Achiuwa, his name is hard to say, Memphis center, who play kind of four, kind of five. Played a lot with Wiseman out. He's good. I think he could be a good backup fit for them. Great place for him to develop, for any big to develop, really. Unless Bol Bol just steamrolls the minutes of that position, but I don't see that happening. And Achiuwa can play the 4 and the 5, so there, that is all solved. The Jazz at 23, behind Mike Conley. They haven't really had a steady backup point guard for a long time. They've kind of rifled through a bunch of guys who do a good job for them, but not a great job. Malachi Flynn from San Diego State, great player. A little on the older side at 22 and a half years old, but I was watching Sam Merrill, my Pacers draft crush, late clips, and I saw them playing San Diego State. Malachi Flynn popped in that game. He's really good. Also, I didn't talk about Pacers fits for some of prior picks. Desmond Bane, insanely good fit. Desmond Bane is a ridiculously good shooter and player. If the Pacers ended up with him, that would be awesome. So if they get one of those mid-first and end up with Bane, that's great. Vernon Carey, terrible fit. They don't need another center. That one's easy. Same with Precious, the guy who I sent to the Nuggets. Isaiah Joe, I love him. I talked about him as a draft crush who I would like at 54. If the Pacers end up with him, that'd be awesome. And Hampton, it's hard to project how good he'll be from Australia. I think they should go with a more established guy if they're going to actually keep the pick. I have Isaiah Joe listed at 24th because I apparently don't know how to read or type stuff down. So Isaiah Joe is getting picked by the Bucks and the 76ers. I must have typed someone's name that I didn't mean to. I did. I meant to type Theo Maledon here. There we go. Okay. But this one, oh, geez. I even have his name off to the side. Okay. So Maledon is overseas from France. Theo Maledon, a point guard, but he's 6'5", bully kind of point guard build. But now that they have Drew, I don't feel like the Bucks are going to go this way. My mock draft got ruined by trades during this draft. So maybe I'll just talk about someone else here. Xavier Tillman is a guy projected early second late first. That's really good that he's a center type. And now that Robin Lopez opted out for the Bucks, maybe they'll go that route. There's their backup center behind Brook Lopez. That works for me. That's not exactly how I wanted to go here. Maybe Isaiah Stewart or Zeke Nagy from Arizona, one from Washington could be good fits. Maybe they'll be looking more in the big man market is why his names I'm looking at here. So let's give him Zeke Nagy from Arizona. He's a big center who could help them out in their front court rotation. There we go. All right. 25, the Thunder. I'm kind of just going off the Thunder's history of picking wings, undervalued wings, and turning them into good players. So 25, Jaden McDaniels, the wing from Washington. Good player. He's pretty raw. Calling him a good player might be aggressive. I did it again. I skipped over any of those. Actually, all the Bucks guys I named are big men. They would not be good fits with the Pacers. But anyway, back to the Thunder guy, Jaden McDaniels. He's really raw. He didn't show the offensive skills everybody thought he would show at Washington. His defense is okay. His offense is okay. You know, projecting as an okay NBA player isn't really great, but in this draft, that'll have to do. He's a wing, so if the Pacers end up with him, that's fine, but I wouldn't be super excited about him. I don't think he's going to end up super awesome. 26, back to the Celtics. Again, I'm going to go with a stash for them, or a potential stash for them, with Leandro Bolmaro from FC Barcelona, shooting guard who's 6'7". He's just huge. His stats don't really pop because none of the young Euro guys do, but mostly skills for those guys. He's pretty good. Looks like he could be a quality NBA player, but probably not the greatest fit for the Pacers. Who knows, though? All those Euro guys couldn't always have a chance to end up better. Cole Anthony to the Knicks at 27. That's way low. I'm not that high on his ability. A lot of UNC guys, actually basically every UNC guy for a while. I mean, Harrison Barnes is the best North Carolina player in the NBA. Those guys have not turned out to be good NBA players of late. Hopefully that trend can be bucked with Coby White or something like that. But Cole Anthony could be really good. He's clearly good at, you know, slicing through pick and rolls, cutting through, trapping defenses, things like that. He's good and speedy, but just not sure how good of an NBA player he'll end up being. But the Knicks need point guards, and why not take a flyer on Cole Anthony this late in the first round? 28, we're back to the Thunder. So pick your favorite wing. They're going to pick him. Maybe they won't now. They have a bunch already. But Tyler B from Colorado. A little older, almost 23 years old already, but 6'7" wing, decent score, great rebounder for his size, 11.2 per game last year for Colorado. He'd be an okay fit for the Pacers here. You know, again, good solid-sized wing. The Pacers could use guys like that on their roster and their rotation. Really, any team could, but specifically the Pacers as well. 29, the Raptors. I don't know what they're looking for. You know what I mean? Toronto develops all these guys every year. Terrence Davis, Pascal Siakam, OG, Norm Powell. They just keep churning guys into better players than they were prior. So their time in Toronto. Josh Green's a guy that, you know, a lot of mock drafts project higher than me. So I'll just slot him in here. Maybe they value that. A lot of, you know, maybe they see Green as a project they could get some potential out of. And, you know, if he's falling in the draft, why not scoop him up and try to build him? Arizona shooting guard. 14 points per game this past season. I don't know much about his game, and I don't know how much he would fit with the Pacers, but the Raptors, I'm sure, could turn him into, like, a very quality starter because that's what they do. Last pick of the first round, belonging to, again, the Boston Celtics. This one they'll make in my fake mock draft. Jalen Smith, power forward from Maryland, great rebounder. 6'10", he's more of a center, 2.7 blocks. He's just a well-rounded player, has a lot of decent skills on both ends of the floor. And, again, the Celtics are going to be looking at front court guys. I made a mock draft. We've talked a bunch about, you know, go back to last week. I had a conversation with Spencer Perlman, former draft consultant for the Phoenix Suns, about guys the Pacers could target at 54. Combine that analysis with all this mock draftery from today, and you'll have an idea what the Pacers could do on draft day tomorrow, right? We heard from Ryan Carr, like I said, vice president of player personnel for the Pacers today. He talked about how, you know, this draft's been unique. They haven't worked out physically, had a workout, brought a player in at all, right? You know, them and Portland and Oklahoma City are three teams that haven't done that. COVID's made it really hard and not worth it. Some of these teams don't have picks to value a guy really highly, so they said, screw it. The Pacers have, you know, Zoom interviewed hundreds of players, he said, but they haven't in-person worked out anybody, right? So maybe that shows you how much they actually value this draft. I think it's much more likely they only pick 54th if they pick at all, although it's certainly possible that that is not the case. So we'll see what happens. You know, like he said, it's a weak top of the draft, and I think given Ryan Carr's comments, the most likely thing that happens is the Pacers either just pick 54th or just sell their pick outright. But we'll see. Hope you guys enjoyed a mock draft. I know it's not particularly Pacers-y, although I tried to blend some Pacers into it. I did a pretty bad job of that. trying to fly through this, and all these trades just keep throwing off my timing and rhythm. But hope you guys enjoyed. Get excited for offseason mania coming soon. We will talk to you guys tomorrow to preview more draft stuff, and we will see you then.